So I'm excited. I didn't think he was going to give up the mic today because, you know, he started to get going. But today I'm going to be talking about parenting, how to parent while keeping your sanity. Because, you know, I'm the perfect parent. I'm not at all. So I just want to get that out there. There are no perfect parents. I am not a perfect parent. You will never be a perfect parent. There are no perfect parents, okay? But we try our hardest and we do our best. And if you talk to people with babies, you might, like, find that hard to believe that kids aren't perfect, you know, that they make mistakes too. And I remember before I even had kids, I would say, like, you know, I'd see a kid acting up and I'd be like, listen, that is not, my kid will never do that, right? I learned really quickly when I became a parent never to say that, ever, because you never know, okay? Parenting, it's rewarding, but it's also really challenging. It can be exciting and really exhausting, okay? Thrilling and frightening. So, you know, when children are small, we worry about them. We, you know, if they have a fever, we want to rush them to the doctor right away, right? I have a four-month-old, and I still check to see if she's sleep, like if she's breathing at night while she's sleeping, right? Those are the kinds of things that we worry about. And so there's all different stages that our kids go through. And now my oldest is starting to drive, and let me tell you, that's completely different, you know, different worries. So the bigger they get, it seems like the bigger the worry, seems to be. But when my older kids were younger and they were really close in age, I remember just being really tired, and my mom would say to me, Jennifer, these are the best years of your life. And I really get what she means, because your kids are right with you. They're there with you. You know where they are. You're taking care of them. Your house is busy and it's full. You know, eventually they get older and, you know, they move on. So they really are the best years of our life. So those with small children, I just want to encourage you that it's so worth it. Everything you pour into your family is worth it. And those that, you know, don't even have kids yet, this is great that you're learning about these things before you even have kids, right? Because then you realize, you know, there's certain mistakes you don't want to make. There's things that you want to learn from. One time a mom told me about her son that when he turned 13, his brain went on vacation, right? And he was 20, and apparently it didn't come back. So, you know, there's different stages of life. But actually the Bible says in Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And children really are a gift, and they're precious. And they're all extremely different. I have four kids. They're all different. You know, you can't make one like the other, and you can't make them what you want them to be. They are who that God created them to be. Okay. So parenting, it's a wonderful opportunity as well as a great responsibility. So we're just going to look at some key responsibilities of every parent. And like I said, I am not the perfect parent. And even while I was studying this, God began to speak to me about things that needed to change in my household and how I parent. And so I was fasting, and one of my kids told me, every time you fast, it's like God tells you to change something or do something with us. You know, so they don't really like it that much. And I just, like, implemented some rules in the house, you know, that I felt like we really needed. So, but we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to go to 11. And it says, "And you have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." So I love this because, you know, discipline is hard. You know, when you're God is disciplining us, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to go through, but it's training us because God wants us to be holy as he is holy. And the Bible says that without holiness, no one will see God. He wants us to walk with him. And, you know, the Bible, it tells us here that if he doesn't discipline us, it shows that he doesn't love us, or that, you know, he does it because he loves us. Out of his love for us, he disciplines us. Okay, so love, discipline comes out of love. And it says that if he didn't discipline us, we would be illegitimate children. We wouldn't be his, but we are his. And that's beautiful. And he's the perfect father. So this is, sometimes we grow up with parents that really aren't the greatest example. So we have nothing really to go on. But when you come to Christ, you're serving the best father, the perfect father, the Abba father, your daddy, who wants to take care of you, who wants to teach you how to parent. The best way is to be in his word and be in communion with him, right? That's the way that you become a good parent. And the Bible says that if anybody lacks wisdom, to ask, and God will give it to you liberally. He wants to give you the wisdom that you need to parent. And honestly, in this nation today, we look about, like Peter was saying, the horrific things that happened in Florida this week, right? I really believe there's a breakdown in the family. There is such a breakdown. You know, parents don't, I think people are exhausted. I think people they get tired and they don't want a parent. I think people are just laid back. And I think that, you know, we take God out of everything. There's so many factors, but I really know that there's a breakdown in the family. When there's a breakdown in the family, something happens to our children and our society. And this is what we're looking at today. These are the consequences of taking God out of our families and out of our schools and, you know, out of our government. So, okay, I'm going to get started. So there's three responsibilities of every parent. Three responsibilities of every parent. And the first one is to practice love. And we realize that God loves us so much that he died for us, right? That's love. The Bible says that, you know, that there's no greater love than this than one lay down his life for his friend, right? So that's how we should be treating our children, that we would lay down our life for them, right? So one of the basic responsibilities we have as parents is to love our children. We're to love them with the same love God shows to us. And it's the most foundational element. Everything comes out of love. Without love, we have nothing, the Bible says. Without love, you know, everything is twisted, you know, but we need God's love because that's an unselfish love, right? Because sometimes we can love with wrong motives, and that's not really love, okay? So unconditional love is loving somebody no matter what. So we have to provide an atmosphere of unconditional love in our home. So we have to show them the same unconditional love that God shows us. And parents, I just wanted to mention this. So we're showing our kids this unconditional love, but I really feel that it's so important that our children see our husbands and wives loving each other. It's so foundational because, you know, God says that male and female, God created them, and they were created in his image. So a woman has characteristics of God. A man has characteristics of God. When you come together, you're like a more complete picture of who God is. So when your kids see you relating to one another, they're getting a picture of kind of who God is. So then, you know, when you come to Christ, you know, if you had parents that didn't serve the Lord and things were kind of, you know, messed up in the house or whatever, because, you know, listen, everybody makes mistakes, but they have to now correct their vision of who God is. Some people can't relate to God as their father because they didn't have a good father. Okay, so just, you know, keep that in mind. So we have to provide an atmosphere of unconditional love, and we have to demonstrate an attitude of encouragement. Listen, I want to be my kids' greatest cheerleader. You know, I want to always encourage them. And Ephesians 6:4 says, "And now a word to you fathers, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord." So as parents, there are times where maybe we can make our children angry, you know, because of who we are or something in us and the way we relate to them. Okay, but we need to encourage our children. There is so much negativity that these kids face every single day in their schools. There's things that they go through. They don't even talk about it. They may not even mention it to you. Sometimes you could see it on their face when they come home, but they might not even say it. When they come home, we need to encourage our kids. We need to speak positively to them. We need to uplift them. We have to encourage our kids. I want to be their greatest cheerleader. And I want my kids to know that I'm on their side, you know, even when they're wrong. Sometimes they're going to be wrong. I'm not going to, you know, back them up in that, like, you know, but I'll always be behind them, but I'll never encourage bad behavior. Let me just say it that way. We also need to provide discipline. So not only love, we need to practice love. It's foundational. We also need to practice discipline in our homes. Just as we read that the Father, he disciplines us because he loves us. So discipline, it's not a dirty word. It's not a bad word. You know, today I feel like we're lacking a lot of discipline. And it's an important part of parenting responsibilities. Okay? We've lost sight of that, a lot of parents. We're not our kids' friends. That's, you know, we're not their friends. We're their parents. You know, but we have to let them know that, yes, they can come to us with anything. You know, I remember my mom and dad sitting down with me and teaching me about the birds and the bees and all that stuff, right? And they said, listen, if, as I got older, if something should happen, because they always taught me to be abstinent to save myself for marriage. But they said, if something should happen, we want you to come to us. We'll love you. We'll support you. Will we be disappointed? Sure. But will love you no matter what. So, and that always stuck with me because I knew that they loved me unconditionally. Okay. But anyway, so the relationship of discipline and love. There's a relationship here. We're going to talk about four different kinds of parents. First one is the neglectful parents. So neglectful parents, and maybe you could see yourself as one of these, but neglectful parents are low on love and low on discipline. Basically, they don't care. Right? If you're not showing your kid love and you're not disciplining them, you're neglecting them. Okay. The next one are harsh parents. Harsh parents are low on love, but high in discipline. Okay. So they show discipline, but it's not out of love. And we have to be really careful with this because, you know, I remember reading one of Dr. Dobson's books, and I'm going to refer to him. He's a Christian psychologist. I love him. And he had mentioned, you know, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. So if you lay down the law in your home and you don't have a relationship with that kid is going to rebel. Because they need to know that they are loved. They need to have a relationship with their parents. The next one is permissive parents. So permissive parents are high in love and low in discipline. So they love their children, but they hamper them by not providing the discipline and parameters children need. Children thrive, you know, with parameters and barriers. They need that. They will test you to see if you're going to do something. And whether they realize it or not, deep down, they want you to do something. They want you to put up those barriers for protection. Our kids need our protection. And we do that through discipline. They need to know we care. Because they know when you don't care. If you're not disciplining, you don't care where they are at night, you know, they let them out all hours of the night, they're going to realize nobody cares about me. So, but permissive parents, they love a lot, but they're low in discipline. A good example of this is King David in the Bible. So King David, his home was a mess. I mean, he loved the Lord. He knew what it was to repent. He loved God. But one of his sons raped the stepsister, okay? And David really did not do anything. And there was havoc in his house till the day he died. I mean, his son tried to, you know, take the throne and slept with his wives in front of everybody. And, you know, when you don't take care of things in your home, it's not going to, you know, something's going to happen, basically. And you're not going to get away with it. Everything has to be dealt with. Everything has to be dealt with. And I had to be careful, too, because I feel like at times, you know, I tend to be this permissive parent. I love my kids a lot. And I try to discipline as much as possible, but I caught myself, you know, letting certain things go. And then it produces certain attitudes, you know, or things that kids might think are allowed when really it's not. So God had to check me on this. And I'm just saying that because I want you to realize I am not a perfect parent. I do not have it all together. And God is dealing with me as a parent. But I love talking about family. I love talking about kids. I love talking about marriage because I want to see families succeed. I want to see them succeed. The next one are balanced parents. They're high in love, but they're also high in discipline. Balanced parents know that discipline is not the opposite of love. It is the result of love. Because they love their children, they set boundaries and teach consequences. Okay, and the only example I have for this, I'm going to say, is our Heavenly Father, is God. He's the greatest example. And that's why we have to be in his word, because he's going to show us how to parent our kids through his word, through spending time with him. Okay, so that's the balanced parent. High love, high discipline. Now, there's two kinds of discipline we're going to talk about. The first one is punishments and rewards. Our children need to learn the important principle that there are consequences for our choices. Learning the lesson of consequences is one of the most important lessons we can teach our children. And there's not, people think consequence is a bad word, you know, but there's good consequences. You know, you do something good, it's a good consequence. You do something bad, there's going to be a bad consequence. You're going to have to pay for it. So consequences could be good and they could be bad. Dr. Dobson says in his book, The Strong-Willed Child, the wise parent must understand the physical and emotional characteristics of each stage in childhood, and then fit the discipline to a boy's or girl's individual needs. Different stages call for different forms of discipline, okay? And so depending how old they are, you know, what taking something away that you know that they really like, the phone tends to work in our house. But, you know, we have to think, too, when we're disciplining our kids, who do we want our child to be? You know, what kind of an adult do we want our child to be? Do we want them to be respectful? Then, you know, when the teacher comes to you and says, your kid was disrespectful, you can't say to that teacher, well, not my kid. You know, this is what happens. You know, I taught third grade for 8 years, and you'd be surprised that, you know, even Christian parents, they will support their kid even when they're doing things that are, like, not acceptable, you know, and they make excuses. We cannot make excuses for our kids' behavior. You know, there has to be some consequence to it. You love your kid. You will support them. You'll be there for them, but you don't agree with their behavior. So if you want a respectful child, you need to teach respect, okay? You want them to be self-controlled, you need to discipline them now. Because if we don't discipline our children now when they're younger, they will not be self-controlled. They will not be a disciplined adult when they get older. Okay, do you want them to be hardworking? You know, it all begins in the home. So think about who you want your children to be. Because, you know, what you do in the home matters. Okay, they're always watching. Leonardo da Vinci once said, he who does not punish evil commands it to be done. And that's really wise. Because what you're saying is, it's okay. You can do that. Because not saying anything is just, you know, you're basically agreeing with whatever they're doing, with what they're doing. And we have to train in responsibilities. That's another way to discipline. Learning the discipline that comes with doing chores, helping in the family, and being responsible is an exceptionally valuable life lesson. We need to give our kids responsibilities. You know, when our kids are younger, we tend to do more for them, you know. But little by little, as they're able to do things for themselves, we have to allow that to happen. And I know sometimes for moms, that could be a little bit hard because you want to be needed. You know, we love to be needed as a mom, but you're not helping your kid. You know, we're not helping them by doing everything for them. If they can make themselves a sandwich, let them make themselves a sandwich for lunch, you know. Certain things, it's so funny because certain things I would hear, my mom did a lot for me And it was a good thing. Like, she was a great mother, okay? She did a lot for me. But, and I would hear, like, parents didn't really get up with their kids in the morning before school, or they made them pack their own lunch. And I used to think, oh, that's terrible. Oh, gosh. And then I had kids. And I realized a mother cannot do everything, right? And if a kid is capable, let them do it. How else will they learn? I was so wrong, you know? So wrong. And we have to be careful also, and I noticed this in my own life, and my kids will probably attest to it. But we have to be careful because we tend to be tougher on the older ones. By the third one, you're tired, you know? But we can't give up and we can't lose heart, because the less stringent parental discipline becomes, the less self-disciplined a child will be later on in life. So that's especially true among younger children. We tend to ease up, you know? And now I have a four-month-old, and it's like she drops the pacifier and you just wipe it off and you give it back to, you know, like by that one, it's like their first word is ice cream or something, you know? And the first one, you didn't give them any chocolate till they were like two. So, so we have to be careful with that as well. Another job of a parent is to promote teaching. You know, we are teachers in our home. Whether you realize it or not, we're teaching them something. You know, and they're learning from our behavior. They're learning from us. You know, and it might not necessarily be the best things or the good things. So we have to be really careful about how we live as parents. But listen, if you're in the Word and you're in prayer, God is working in you little by little, and it makes a difference, you know, and your kids will see the difference in you. So we have to teach truth. We're to bring up our children the training and instruction of the Lord, as we teach them what God says and what He wants from us. You know, that's the most important thing. One way we do that is we bring our children to church. You know, that's a great way. But, you know, the rule in our house is if you live in our house, you go to church. You know, when you get older and you move out, I pray that you will find a church and you're serving God, but then you're on your own. So I can't do anything about that. But when you're in this house, you're going to church, okay? So that's non-negotiable. It also involves parents teaching godly principles to their children in their home. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What are you training your children to do? What are you training your children to be? Right? We're training them somehow. Are we training them in the way God wants us to train them? Are we the harsh parent that, you know, is low in love but high in discipline? What are we teaching our kid? That I really don't care and you're just going to do what I say no matter what. You know, so we have to be wise as parents. And I believe, you know, when we're seeking God, He works in our hearts. You know, He wants us to be better. He wants, you know, and we want to become better because we're drawing closer to Him. So it all flows out of our relationship with God, really. You know, if we're right with the Lord, then everything else kind of falls into place. Not that it's easy, because it's not always easy. And we also need to model morality for our children. Children tend to follow our example and not just our words. So if you want your kid to be loving, you need to model love. If you want your kid to be patient, you need to model patience. You know, we have to be so careful at everything we do because they pick up on everything. You know, and when I taught in third grade, one of the best ways to teach kids is to model for them. We would model whatever it is that they were learning that day, and then they would practice it. So in our homes, we're modeling how to live. Are you modeling a godly life? You know, so model morality. Be sure you are going where God wants you to go. I remember as a little girl, my dad would have like these big boots and he would walk through the snow. And then later I'd go out to play and I would step in his footsteps. You know, your children will follow in your footsteps. So, you know, we want to lead them where God wants them to go. And we have to demonstrate discipleship. We have to be intentional about discipling our children. And we think, you know, Jesus discipled the apostles. You know, he poured into them. We need to pour into our children. And I'm just going to share a little story. And I got permission to say this. So just this week, we got an email from James's teacher. And basically, they're doing, for Black History Month, they're learning spirituals in chorus. And one of the spirituals is about Elijah. So one of the kids wanted to know, who's Elijah? You know, nobody really knew who Elijah was. And the teacher had asked, does anybody know who he is? And so the kids, you know, start looking it up on their phones. But James raised his hand, and he shared with the class who Elijah was. So he was able to share the Bible with his class. So the teacher said, you know, the kids and I, we were all really impressed, you know, how he knew this. And so when I talked to James about it, he goes, thank God Dad made us watch those videos when we were younger, because we have like the Old and New Testament cartoons for kids. And so he said, you know, by watching it and then reading the story himself, it just made it clear to him, you know. So sometimes Peter will put things on and the kids are watching it kicking and screaming, but they're learning, you know, and sometimes we have to force our kids to do those things. So we need to have Bible studies at home. It's so important. Even just sitting around the dinner table and talking with one another, that's discipleship right there. You know, you're showing your kids that they matter. You want to hear about their day. You know, those are some of my favorite times, is when we're sitting around the table, just talking, you know, what happened that day, or just laughing, or just spending time together. So we need to demonstrate discipleship. And we need to practice what we're preaching, because I think this is so important. You know, we can pray over a meal, but if we're not living it, if we're not living Christianity, you know, kids, they sniff out hypocrisy a mile away. You know, they're not going to serve God. If we're hypocrites in our home, then it affects our children, because they will see it. They will see the hypocrisy. So, you know, President George H.W. Bush, he was asked what his greatest accomplishment in life was. And this is what he said. He said, my children still come home. And I think that, and I always think about that. I think about years to come when, you know, we have Thanksgiving or Christmas at our home. Are my kids going to want to come home? You know, will we all be sitting around the table with their children, you know? And I think whatever you do for your family, it's so worth it. It is so worth it. So just really quickly, I'm just going to go through the three responsibilities of every parent is to practice love, provide discipline, and then we have to promote teaching. You know, this is, as the church, it just seems like, the world just seems so dark right now, but we have the light. We have the answer, you know, and as my husband would say, the more kids you have, because he loves having a big family, it's like, you know, our children is what we leave behind. They're what we leave behind. They're our legacy, you know, so we want to pour into them. We want to leave them with the heritage, with godly heritage, right, so that they can then have godly families, and so on and so forth, because we want this world to be affected by God. We want to be, we want families to be strong so that we can have a healthy society. We can have a healthy school. We don't have to worry about our kids, you know, being shot in school. You know, we have to get back to the basics, and the basics is God's word. We need to be in God's word. We need to be praying. We need to be in church. You know, these are all such important things. Basically, it comes down to our relationship with the Lord. When you have a relationship with the Lord, God is working in you each and every day, and you'll want to do these things for your family.